Accession number 19066, Real 4.
Matt McChrystal, Real 4. And what were your physical living conditions like in Burma, in the field?
Well, you slept. Oddly enough, when I arrived in Tidim, I still had my army camp bed, green canvas, crisscross, you know, that fold and cross. And it was when we left Tidim, of course, everything was destroyed, thrown away. No point in taking stuff like that. But normally, we slept dependent on the position. I mean, for example, when the battalion was occupying on rota defence of Kennedy Peak, there were two man holes for one man awake and one man dozing. Sometimes you'd have a shelf below it which you could lie down on. In places like Kennedy Peak, there was a little bit more luxury in the sense that I remember one spell that I was there. C Company was in the rear slopes, and my sort of slit trench had been enlarged so that I could get in it, and I had about that wide.
Perhaps 18 inches.
Yes, something like that, 18 inches, 2 feet. So you could just lie. Boots still on and so on, but, you know, and you'd have a waterproof tarpaulin sort of stuff to give you reasonable protection against the cold, and, you know, you'd have your blankets. When you were out on patrol, of course, you just slept as you were. Funny, trying to recall the details of it. It's something that I don't really remember doing very much about it.
And would you fall sick or stay healthy?
Oh, I stayed healthy. The thing about that height, you weren't down in the really hot stuff. It was hot in the sun, but there weren't the sort of insect level or the heat and moisture and so on that you might expect to get down on the lower plains, you know, in India itself, or along the river banks. And I mean, malaria. Many, I don't know what was the matter with me, but I'd be on patrol with people, with a battalion, a platoon, and the next morning, people's faces absolutely bitten away, pockmarked with the biting that had gone on, and they would never bite me. It was the oddest thing. I wasn't the only one, but the only thing about mosquitoes that annoyed me was, well, for example, when I was in Singapore, living in barracks with a 4-poster bed on which you held the mosquito net. And the most annoying thing for me was that in getting into the bed, one mosquito might have got in with me. And every so often you'd hear them in your ear. Zzz. And that was, so I was obviously living in luxury by that time. But we all took our Mepocrine tablets, which I did take, but they never bit me. Strange.
Just coming back to an earlier stage in India, was there any were there any disturbances or unpleasantness whilst you were in India?
No. I was only in Indulali, and either Bombay or Calcutta when travelling, staying in, you know. I mean, later that year, after I was wounded and recovered in October, when Ninth Border was out at Ranchi, withdrawn back into India, preparing for the next attack into Burma, I took from Dulali are about 30 or 40 reinforcements for the battalion. Because I'd come from the battalion, I was allowed to take them back, you see. So you travel with them by train from Bombay, from Dulali, up to short of Calcutta, north into Ranchi, which was the end of October, because it was, they were celebrating Arroyo Day, 29th of October, from the Spanish War, Arroyo dos Molinos.
The Peninsular War.
Yeah. And it's the sort of special day. And I remember my arm in a sling. I remember playing football in some celebratory do that day. But so I was never in places where you were, going to get any civil unrest. The battalion itself, before I joined them, when they went out, you see, a year before, and had been in Calcutta as the resident battalion in Fort William. And they had, you know, the usual incidents, that, but I had never any personal experience of it.
And did you make a full recovery from your wounds?
Well, yes. Not quite, but I mean, my arm doesn't straight. It was here and all along here. There are all sorts of bits and bobs. And the pieces there splayed. I've shrapnel in the back of the hand. I'm just wondering whether that's got anything to do with my prod. About 20 years ago, little tiny bits of shrapnel that I couldn't see or feel rose, pushing the flesh like, you know, as though it was starting a smooth wart, all on the back of the hand. I saw the doctor, and he said, I don't know, you know. He said, I will watch it. So it disappeared. After about 2 or 3 months, they disappeared and sank back, and never seen them since. That finger, it was straight. I had them bend it. When I was at school, I led the school orchestra. And when I was ended up, I was in Madras for 2 or 3 weeks. And then ended up in Pune, and I was 3 months there and had three operations on the various bits. And when they were doing separating this hand, I got him to bend that one straight.
Bend the finger.
Bend it. It won't straighten, but to give it a bit of, so it looks more. Nobody would ever notice. But when you're playing a violin, and I've played since, I've given it up now 15 years ago, but, you know, used to do quite a bit, never as good as it was before. But do you play as you go up the strings, the fingers have to get nearer together for the next note, so that it's right for down there at the bottom. But when you get up, that third finger there wants to be like that, and it's very limiting. So I struggle on. But.
So how did you come to be in Singapore? Was this at the end of the war?
Yes. I was sent to Calcutta, to Slim's headquarters, ALFSI headquarters, Allied Land Forces, Southeast Asia. Oliver Leese was general there, and then Slim. Then we went, the headquarters was moved to Ceylon, to Kandy. Sri Lanka, as now is.
Any memories of Slim and Lise and so on?
No, I mean, I used to, for a week, I went into Slim's room to alter the map marks with a China graph pencil. and somebody... And somebody else was there when Lise came. Not Lise himself, the next one. Said, "Do you know where so-and-so is? You know, some place." I said, "Yes, it's..." Because I didn't know where it was, up in Burma. No, went to Kandy in Ceylon, which was a very fine place to be. In, and then after the bomb was dropped, we went to Singapore.
Is that with the HQ?
Yes, and I was there 4 or 5 months.
What job did you have at the HQ?
Initially, I was in the ops branch, and then there were too many people there, and I thought, well, I'll see if I can get into something more interesting, if there was anything more interesting then. And I went into the education section there, and I was going to move on to Hong Kong. I was a captain by then. I was being promoted to major to go to Hong Kong, and the phone went. See, I was in real luxury then. After Bombay, I had a phone on the desk, and asking that my Class B release, if I wished to take it up, my Class B release to return university. So I said, yes, I think I'll go.
But what job did you have in the education section?
Well, various limited, but it was partly organizing talks and meetings for soldiers in the headquarters because it's quite a big one, and partly sort of welfare connected things. And it wasn't very magnificent stuff, but it was better than just being sent somewhere in India to a, you know, and I wasn't fit enough to be doing anything that I could return to.
What was
acting active duties, you know.
What was the state of Singapore on the liberation?
It was remarkably good, really. The place was alive. The people were magnificent, really. And, you know, very resilient. And, of course, the Japanese were all very helpful. And, you know.
What was the attitude of the Singaporeans to having the British back?
Well, I'm not sure about that, to be honest, Conrad. I was, you were in the headquarters, you were doing this, you were doing that, you went about, you didn't have a lot to do with them. You met them, you saw them when you went into town, went into the city, you know, to see what raffles looked like in those days. I always remember going to Solomon came, played the Beethoven Emperor Piano Concerto, and that was really quite, you know, the orchestra and so on. It was life and culture coming back again. But all the big worlds, as they were called, the sort of super entertainment centres in the city, I've no doubt they're far superior now, but they were going there, you know. And remarkably, I don't know whether affluent is the right word, but the people were sort of, there was a, you know, a general happiness and things being done and achieved. There was all the problems to come later, but it was fine.